So sort of a special morning this morning, a little different. Once again, still along the same lines of just, I think, equipping the saints. We're just going to have a bit of a time of just sort of chatting back and forth with Rob and Leonie about worship, just kind of their vision and their heart for worship. A lot of things come to mind when we say worship. I mean, it's rightly so. I call them cheeky Christians, you know, the ones who kind of want to prove to you that they're a little smarter than you, that they know a little more. Did you grow up with anyone like that? You know, I had the mom who was always like half a breath ahead of you in the Lord's Prayer. Like, you know, just so you knew that she knew, you know, just so we understood. And it's like the same thing when you sort of say to someone, oh, you know, we have a worship team at church. Well, you're supposed to worship the Lord all the time. Yeah, okay, we get it. You know, we bow down to your superior understanding of the nature of God. It's true. When we talk about worship, it's really something that we do with our lives. But there's, I don't know what we call it, song time? You know, singing to the Lord? I mean, the thing we're talking about is worshiping in song and inviting the presence of the Lord. Yes, our goal as Christians is to leave here and literally have the expression of our hearts to God more and more be our worship to Him. But there is a time that we set aside just to sort of sing to the Lord and lift up the Lord and invite His presence. So I thought just to give Rob and Leonie the chance, one, for you to get to know them and their background, but also where we're at in this path. And as I sort of said, I said, look, I want you guys just to kind of teach on worship. And then, I don't know, it was like sort of a couple days ago, Leonie's like, why don't we do it like an interview? You know? And I'm like, oh, then I can't just sit back and make faces at you guys. You know what I mean? It's like I actually have to do something. And I'm like, so I agreed. So without further ado, may I present Leonie Gardner and Rob McMahon? Hello.
Hello.
Is it yes. On, Rob? Okay, well, we're off to a swimming start. Leonie, I'd like to thank you so much for dressing up so nicely for us today. Rob, thanks for coming.
He's pretending as if it doesn't work. So he doesn't have to talk.
Yeah, is that how it was going to go? Hey, look, just once again, I think the idea was, here, let me take a look at it, Rob, I can park it. You got to.
This is our producer.
Usually we have to get Jeremy involved to get stuff going.
Don't look it.
There you go. Woo! Well done. Okay. I think just maybe give each of you just a quick opportunity to sort of, you know, introduce yourself and maybe just briefly sort of your background within maybe your upbringing and what sort of brought you to this place in leading worship here at Ascend Church.
Thanks. So we were raised in church, pretty much.
Rob and Leonie are brother and sister, by the way, for those of you who
didn't know. It's my oldest brother. Oh, my younger brother. Yep, our parents were worship leaders growing up, so we grew up quite familiar with the idea of worship and song. Like he says, it is a lifestyle. We'd sit at home and my mum and dad would just worship at home as well. So it was all around us. Then I was in a youth band earlier on, sort of left the church for a while and came back. And there's a really funny story to how we got here, although Scott doesn't think it's very funny.
It's not funny.
Have any of you heard Scott sing? No. He really is wonderful. The Lord enjoys it.
Is Rosalie here today? She usually backs me up.
So we're coming along for about, I don't know, maybe 2 years or so. Three years. And there were people that would come in and do a bit of worship here and there. But basically, Scott would sing a cappella, and that was our worship team. And we would sit and listen very Obediently? No.
You guys would look at your shoes the whole time, and I wonder what was going on.
And we'd try not to sing loud so that he wouldn't be able to see that we could sing. But we have this work function that is kind of a singing competition, and we invited Scott and DeBraun along one time.
No, you didn't. Somebody else did.
And we're like, oh, you know, people sing, and we have dinner, and it'll be fun. You should come. Anyway, I was singing that night, and I think they tell it that he was about to put a spoonful of food in his mouth, and he literally dropped it. Like, what? Did you know that she could sing? And they're all like, yep. And can any of you sing? Yeah, we can all sing. Do you play instruments? Yeah, we all play instruments. And so that was the end of our three-year pew warming. He kind of got us up and wouldn't let us get away with it after that. So that's how we came to be here.
Same.
So there is we tell the story humorously, but it is quite true that I you know, for a long time they were just sort of sitting here, and I would just croak my way through, literally praying for death every Sunday. I'm like, Lord, if you take me home today before worship, I will worship in your presence for eternity. You know, so these guys came along, and then really I think we started along in sort of a walk, what we call our worship walk, and I don't think we've ended up at a destination, but I guess we'll just sort of say, and I'll start with you, Rob, in this. Where would you say you're currently at in your worship walk?
The Lord's dealing with a lot of my fears, or he has been in the last few weeks. Like, going back to that story that Leonie just told about how Scott did it, I'd be sitting in the pews going, man, if Pastor Scott just had a worship team that was as good as his preaching, this would be the best church ever. And the Lord was going, why don't you get up there and help him? No, not me. There must be somebody else going to come along. That I was so full of fear, there was no way I was getting up here. I don't even think I used to play in front of Leonie and Aaron, or maybe Aaron. But I'd just sit in the garage and play to myself because I had been deceived that I couldn't play, couldn't sing. There's no way I'm going to sing in front of people. And that was the first fear he dealt with. I did get tricked to get up here by Scott said it was God. But the lady that was doing it went to Aussie, so he tricked us into getting up. I'm pretty sure he knew she wasn't coming back. Because we were kind of stuck here. I even heard when we got up here, I said, I'll just play the guitar. I ain't singing, I ain't talking, and I'm going to play them as fast as I can so we can hear it and get off. And that's what we did. But then the Lord sort of backed me into a corner one day because I told our other sister, Haley, to pick the songs and sing because Leonie and Aaron were away, who I was hiding behind. So I forced her to sing. Anyhow, she got stuck in Wellington and couldn't make it back, and she didn't tell me till Sunday morning. I was surprised I didn't wear out a hole in the carpet back there because I did so many circles because I didn't know what to do. And I was praying what Scott was praying. Oh, Lord, please come back right now. This very second. Or just take me. I don't want to do this. I'm not. You sure you called me to do this? Well, I hadn't even thought about grabbing Ian. Ian, you're singing. I said, no. I said, Lord, I don't know how to lead worship. I've never done it before. I'm absolutely lost. I said, well, think back to what you do in your bedroom and nobody's watching. Oh, heck no, I ain't doing that. Can't let anyone see me cry. Well, that's worship. Yeah, well, that's between me and you and nobody else. That's how you lead people to worship. You just give them someone to follow. Why does it? That must have sounded a lot like Moses, eh? Why me? Look, choose somebody else. Choose Aaron. He's the one with the mouth. he must have kicked me up here somehow. And he said, just block everybody out and pretend you're in the bedroom. And so I did that, and I did. I forgot I was here. And, yeah, now we're here. It's not quite as difficult as I thought, and the Lord sort of, see, idiot. I'm pretty sure it's in there calls me an idiot because it pops in my head quite a lot. Even last night. A lot of you have witnessed over the last few weeks, all of us have been breaking out of quite a few fears that was holding us back and just feel so much more freer.
So would you say that the overcoming of fear, I mean, not only for a worship leader, but also within the congregation is sort of an important part of just finding freedom in worship?
Yeah, because the Lord would tell me a lot of the times when, because it's really hard up here when nobody's singing, they're just sitting there looking at you like this. I am so out of here. As soon as we finish this last song, I'm going down the stairs. Because we've got a pastor like Scott, he don't let you run down the stairs. He stops you at the door. Josh was saying this a lot too, Josh Klinkenberg. We had the similar experience to what he has. He was blaming the congregation. They weren't saying, look, we're giving it our all. We're playing it properly, singing properly. What's wrong with them? Well, who's leading them? shut up. That's not what I want to hear. It's their fault. If you're bound up, then naturally they're going to be bound up and afraid of things too because you're not free, so they're not going to be free. They're only going to go where you go. Hurry up, Leonie, sort your stuff out.
He's not kidding. That's like
that didn't work either. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. So, like I said, obviously, to achieve freedom, putting aside fear, and I think that, First or Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind is a huge part of what we're trying to engage corporately. So moving toward the future, Leonie, what do you see the destination as, I guess, for maybe not just you personally, but for the congregation?
We're talking about the freedom, that's where I would like to see the congregation at, where they're just totally abandoned. They don't care who's beside them or watching them. All they're focused on is their heart and their worship toward the Lord and receiving back from Him in their time. And so I guess as we're learning to do that more and more, it's teaching the congregation how to do that also, and sort of explaining to them what worship and praise means, and that gives you a little bit more freedom when you actually understand what you're doing. And then just why we do it. When you understand why we worship, who we worship, what worship is, that's, so much more freeing to know. Oh, I'm not just standing and having to lift my hands because that's what you do. When you're thinking, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, for who you are, we can just lift up our hands and it turns that adoration toward Him. My goal is to just see everyone set free and just enjoying that worship and that time with the Lord in song. And also with the spontaneous worship that we've been learning a bit about lately.
Define that just a little bit real quick.
So the spontaneous and prophetic. Spontaneous is just your heart overflowing out in song. So, when you're listening to that song and you start to have these words coming to your mind and just singing that out to the Lord, like, Lord, you are good. I love you. I want to praise you. I just want to give you my life. And then just putting that to a melody during the song. We usually bring it down to a lull in the music and just a quiet time of music. It's just that singing out of your heart to the Lord. And that's just a spontaneous song. And then prophetic is the Lord putting His heart into your heart and having you speak that out over the congregation as well. So I'd like for the congregation to learn how to do that. And when we go into that time of spontaneous, it's not about listening to me in my heart and listening to me do it. I want to hear everybody singing out their heart in that time.
So it would be almost a communal sort of raising of praise to the Lord. So, we talked about sort of like where they've been, where they're at, where we'd like to go. And now I think we just wanted to talk about a few things with regard to sort of like functionality, sort of how we do and why we do what we do. There's always the questions, and I guess I'll start with this, we've addressed it in the past to some extent, like the sing-along aspect, versus sort of the concert aspect of worship? What's the balance there, and is there sort of a different, you know, portion or time within, say, a worship set? You know, I don't know if that makes sense. You know, we have the portion where folks are sort of participating, and then maybe where they're just receiving.
Too many big words, all I heard was blah, blah, blah. The only was the new answer that one.
That's a cheat. So I guess you're asking if there is a time for the congregation to just sit and listen to worship?
Yeah. Like I've heard some people criticize what I say, you know, we're not here to be at a concert, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, yeah, sometimes we kind of, you know, I wouldn't call it a concert, but sometimes I like to let people who have a wonderful gift use their gift. Look, I've had enough of me up there a cappella, you know what I'm saying? If we could get someone else up there who can actually do it, I love to just sort of receive. So is there a place for that?
Yep. So generally what we do is we try to do a few...
Did I use some small enough words?
A few praise songs, and that sort of is responding to God's nature, who he is. We're lifting up a shout of praise, and just that is participation for me. You know, we should all be in here thanking him and praising him. And then when we move into worship, I like to, generally after the notices, it's sort of a time where you meet with the Lord and have communion and just sort of have that chance of just letting your spirit sort of quiet down and see what he's saying. And in that time, I guess you could just sit and listen to worship, listen to the words that are being sung, and see how that applies to your life, and then just sort of meet with him. And then back into participation again, you know, lifting up your own worship to him.
Awesome. So some people talk about, like, you know, what we're supposed to do, you know, what's acceptable within worship. We had chatted with a few people, sort of maybe sort of newcomers, new believers, and just said, asked them a few questions about what they thought about worship and if they had any, you know, like what's acceptable. You know, it's like, okay, one hand's acceptable, two hands aren't, you know. What am I doing? What do I mean when I'm lifting my hands? Can I kneel? Can I dance before the Lord? So one of the questions we had is someone said, look, I'm an introvert. And what, you know, if I'm worshiping, is physical posture important? I think that's a pretty good one for you, Rob, because you sort of would probably say the same thing. Look, I'm an introvert. Like, is posturing important, what I do?
Yeah, especially like if you're singing, I lift my hands and you're standing like this. You're actually singing a lie because you're not lifting your hands. And like a few songs we'd sing, the actual words is I'm down on my knees and I'll change them because I'm not on my knees. And I'm going, sorry, Lord, I'm going to get down there. And I suppose I could start playing on my knees. Yeah, and then a lot of the times I can hear the Lord telling me, lift your hands. Or how about you go on your knees or just sit there, you know. I try to keep that open, and most of the time when I was on that side, the worship leader would confirm it. Like, say, if you want to stand, then stand. If you want to raise your hands, then you raise your hands. And then, nah, Lord, somebody might be watching. And then, yeah, I'm watching. And you came to worship me. So why don't you put your hands up? And, because somebody else might be watching. Why didn't you sing louder? Because somebody might hear my voice. And then what were you like when you were at a rock concert? You didn't care if anybody could hear you and see you. All you wanted to do was get the attention of the people on the stage, like the thousands of others that were in the stadium. And, whoa, I'm so sorry, Lord. I had my focus completely aimed at the wrong people. And so if you make your idols those sort of people, you want to be like them and you want everybody to worship you. Mm. I think that was a big setback for me with guitaring, and that was, I wanted to be like Slash. You know, everybody look at me. I'm the man. And the Lord was like, I'm taking your guitars off you until you learn how to focus in the right place, because for years I had no guitar. Now I know it was the Lord who took them away from me because I was using them for the wrong purposes. And then I lost a lot of skill, which he's been giving back ever since I learnt to do it for him, and he also replaced my guitars, and well, all I had to do to get what I want was listen. Yes, simple. Just hear my voice and listen. So yes, if you're open to hear him, he does talk to you constantly. It's just, where are you focused? Or where was I focused?
What do you reckon, Leonie? Posture's important?
I never used to think so. And we'd raise our hands like this, and Scott would say, be like this. So I am. This is what is the raising of the hands is like giving adoration to the Lord with the palm up. I'm adoring him. Now leave me alone. You know, I don't have to do this. But then I'd see people lifting their hands, and they seem totally free and just lost in the Lord. And I thought, I want that, but I don't want to have to lift my hands to do it. Hmm. But then as I sort of stepped out and thought, I'll put one hand up first and see what that feels like. And it's like a flood just went through me. Like the Lord was like, now I can actually get to your heart because you're not blocking it off. And I can start sort of pulsating through you, you know. And then it will come out to the congregation. But the Bible's full of scriptures about lifting your hands and kneeling and all sorts of things. One of the things that I was reading about, oh no, that's for sacrifice, I suppose. But kneeling is sort of, that's humbling yourself before the Lord. It's a sense of humility that we need him, and we need to keep giving things over to him. And lifting our hands is just turning that direction towards the Lord. And in worship and in praise, we're just saying, Lord, this is all about you. And that's one of the reasons we lift our hands. But for all the words for praise and worship in the Bible, they're actually commands anyway. It's not like, you should do this, it would feel great. The actual word, when you break it down in the original language, means something. There's a reason for it. So it's actually a command, and it tells you why you should do it. And yeah.
Leonie's mentioning that in particular in the Hebrew language, the words that are translated within our Old Testament, praise, worship, sing, have incredible meanings. You know, I remember, and I've talked with Rob and Leonie about this, that the sort of the church environment I grew up in, I distinctly remember one of the lead guys saying, he's like, there's no dancing in church. And I'm like, even as a young guy, I'm like, well, what about David dancing before the Lord? And I'm kind of like, okay, well, not trying to be cheeky, but I'm like, well, what is dancing? And he's like, this is okay. He's like, this? No way. He goes, that's dancing. That's not okay. And I'm like, okay, so I can do this, but I can't do this, you know? And it's like, ultimately, you know, they say, you know, that's just irreverent, and you know, dancing is from the devil and stuff like that. And you're just kind of like, what? I don't, you know, I see David saying, I will be even more undignified than this. Some of the words within the Old Testament, the Hebrew word barak means a continual conscious giving place to God, to be attuned to him or in his presence. The word gual means to spin around under the influence of violent emotion. That's a biblical word. I'm going to read that again just to give somebody some inspiration. To spin around under the influence of any violent emotion. That this word gual occurs in Psalm 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice and shout for joy. It's used in Psalm 35, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. I shall rejoice in his salvation. To spin around under the influence. A lot of us say, yeah, I'm an introvert. This is what we've sort of discussed, you know. Like Rob said, he wasn't an introvert at some of those concerts back in the old days. You know, we're not an introvert when the All Blacks are down by two, about to kick a penalty in the last 30 seconds of a test match. You know what I mean? I wasn't, you know, I think about how do I posture myself towards worship. Last night, I was so disappointed when I figured out that we were having this event at the same time as the semifinal. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, and then I'm kind of like, kind of looking there, okay, hurry, bro, you know, as he's going along. And I'm like, all right, I just missed the first half, we're cool, you know. Then I'm like, just missed the second half, we're cool, you know. Then I'm like, just missed half of the replay as we're going on. And I'm like, I'm eager for this guy to finish. I mean, praise the Lord, it was a good evening. But the idea is do I feel the same way about worship? You know, am I longing to get into that place? The Hebrew word shaka means to prostrate in homage or loyalty, to bow down, to fall down flat. We put together, Leonie and I were talking about this this week, we put together this just a one sheet that just has a few examples of the dozens of words that are used in the Hebrew and the Greek that express worship. And Leonie made a great point. These aren't suggestions. What? You know, they're commands in the original language. This is what you will do. Spin around violently, you know, to prostrate oneself, to extend one's hands. You know, these are things that come with freedom. So as we talked about, is understanding things like words in the original language, the songs that we sing, the words that are in those songs, do you guys think it's important that we know what we're singing? Or is that just, you know, it's kind of like as long as it's got a snappy beat, we're okay with it.
What was it when Kim Walker brought up? How many people are saying oceans and says, "Spirit, lead me where my
Trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander."
Now, are you all aware of what you just said? Like when I first told Scott, I prayed for patience. Oh, no, you didn't. And I figured out why. Oh, because he puts you in positions where you have to be patient. And a lot of the reason why we don't sing "I Surrender All" a lot is, am I really meaning what I'm singing? I surrender part. I surrender all on a Sunday, Lord. I thought that was too many words to fit into the song, so I just won't sing the song.
I used to write down words to the lyrics of songs when I was younger, so words always meant something to me. I would love to, I'd pretend that I was singing them to my husband at the time when I was in school and all that. So I always, when I pick songs or when I'm learning songs, I always read through the words first and say, do I really believe that? Do I want to be singing that out and teaching other people to sing that? Because when you sing, you're not just singing words on a page or on a screen, you're actually declaring whatever you're speaking out and singing. So for me to put them up here and get you to all do it, I have to believe them in my heart, you know, on myself.
Like the one we did today. I wouldn't sing along with Leonie for years when we did that "Break My Heart For What Breaks Yours." There's a lot of things that break the Lord's heart, and I don't think I could handle that, so I wouldn't sing it.
And a little while ago we had some heartbreaking news, and we had to get up and lead worship the very next day. And one of the songs, and it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." And I thought, we're going to take that song out. I'm not going to sing that tomorrow because I'm upset with you, Lord, you know, and I won't bless you in this time. And he's like, really? So you're only going to bless me in the good times? It's like, oh, okay, maybe not. And he's like, will you bless me at all times? So I was like, yeah, all right then, I'll bless you at all times. But just see that one line is so powerful. Will you do this? Will you? And I don't like to say anything out if I'm not prepared or willing to do that myself.
And so that sort of leads into the next question, and I thought this was an excellent question, is how can a person who doesn't, you know, feel like praising or worshiping do that from the heart? Like, is it, you know, is that acceptable? Like, if you come in and, you know, how many of us, maybe the kids act up on the way to church or whatever, and, you know, we're sort of, you know, banging them over the seat on the way, and then we come in, we're like, yeah, I love you, Lord, you know.
Oh, that's me. Surprise, I'm not perfect.
I mean, how? That's the question there, is I think a lot of us, you know, amen, would sort of want to, you know, how do we, what's the positioning there? What are, you know, if we don't feel like it, what do we do?
Man, he wants to get all the skeletons out of our closet. when you don't feel like doing it, sometimes he uses my wife, which says, get over there. Like, I had a really bad situation, and she, go and sing to the Lord. You like doing that? That's the last thing I want to do. I'm going to sit here and cabbage out watching TV. She said, get down the bedroom and get the guitar and start singing. And I just refused. So she went and got it and gave it to me. So I'm not going to play it. We're all sitting here waiting for you to play it. I'll play your stupid song. And I started playing it, and then I wasn't even long. And I was, oh, I love you, Lord. Whoa, it works when you sacrifice. And, like, sometimes we get up here and I like things done my way. Well, I used to. When we first started, and my other sister's a bit like me. She don't like being told what to do. And so she'd challenge me up here, and I'd be sitting, oh, if they weren't looking, I'd... and the Lord's a telltale too, because there's spiritual people in here that he talks to, like Rosalie. She would come up and say, I noticed that the serpents up there this morning, and, oh, she'll break me off. Stop telling on me, Lord, that was between me and you. And so I thought, he taught me a lot that I've got to keep myself in a certain level while I'm up here, not spew rubbish out of you guys, because it affects everybody, not just me. And yeah, that was a big wake-up call.
So we had Josh Klinkenberg here a couple of weeks ago, and even up until that night, I still had questions about worship and praise and the difference and all that between them. And he kind of brought up that if you're struggling to get into a place of worship, what do you do? And he said there's three steps, I say, to the, or three, there's a pathway to the Lord, three steps, which is thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And so he took us through what those three mean. So thanksgiving is, they're all a response. Thanksgiving is a response to God's works or his acts, the things that he's done for you. So we start by thanking him. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that, or healing me, or answering that prayer. And then you move into praise, which is a response to his nature and who he is. So you are good. You are healer. You are my savior, provider, all of those things. And then you're pretty much automatically you come into this place of worship, which is responding to his presence. So he said, if you struggle to get to worship, or if you don't feel like worshiping, go back and start at the beginning. Thank him for something, you know. Or even my sister once said, oh, I just said, I'm going to try and think of, the Lord told her actually, think of 20 things that you're thankful for, and then we'll see if you're ready to worship. And so she started, and she said by the time she got to about 8 things, she was crying. Oh, I'm so thankful for this, and thank you for that. And then she just moved straight into praising him for who he is, and thank you that you're good, which his presence showed up, and she ended up in a place of worship in his presence. But yeah, if you don't feel like worshipping, once you start doing those steps, it's your heart. Josh also said that, you know, our feelings are deceiving. And if we just take that, what Rosalie once told me years ago was a sacrifice of praise, doing it even when you don't feel like it, your feelings will end up coming into line. And it says in Hebrews 13, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. So no matter the circumstance or situation, we will stay aligned to him and offer our praise even when we don't feel like it. And that's what the sacrifice is. So a lot of the time I've just gone back through those steps and then found myself wanting to stay in that place of worship.
So you sort of touched on something there as well. Like, we have this idea of praise and worship. So what, you know, it seems that those are the three blocks that we've sort of really based our worship ministry around, is thanksgiving, praise, and worship. So can you sort of touched on it, but can you just give a quick maybe definition of, I think you sort of did, but just real bullet point, you know, thanksgiving is...
Yeah, so they were all responses to God in some way. So thanksgiving was a response to what he's done for you, so his works, what he does. So if he's given you a new job or a pay rise or he's healed somebody or, you know, anything that you ask him. Yeah, he's died for you, your salvation. All these things that he's done for you, that's thanksgiving. We're thanking him for doing those things for us. Praising him is a response to his nature and who he is. So everything that the Lord is, he's good, he is love, he is kind, he is savior, healer, provider, all these things, that's who he is, and we're just praising him for that. And then worship is a response to his presence. So him in the room, him with us, we respond to feeling his presence with us in worship.
So I guess just in closing, you know, just sort of take us through maybe some practical things, like how can we incorporate, like we're a church that really believes that the study of the Word of God and then the incorporation of that into our lives is very important. We're trying to base our worship and song on what we see in the Word of God, but how can sort of worship and song and the study of the Word, how can that affect your daily life? Like, I think we see it as something necessary for what we do on Sunday. You know, let's you know, get worship as the opportunity to get over the argument we had in the car, you know, on the way to church. But in a sense, what can we do with it throughout the week, just sort of in closing?
I was just thinking, it was like, what was his name last night? Mark.
Mark Holloway, yeah.
Holloway was saying it's a relationship. And like, I was digging, I wanted to practice what he taught last night, so I was digging through some books to see if I had any to write, and then I found one that I'd, with the last time I had to talk about worship. That was the first one I opened, actually. And I was reading, and oh, did I write that? I was like, fair. Yeah, I was talking to myself in this book about a relationship, and he brought me back to when I met my wife. He said, what did you do? What did she do when she first saw me? Like, and like when you trade phone numbers, and there's, thank you for your phone number. I'm so thankful that you want to be interested in me. That's my wife talking. She's not here. Yeah, you see. Yeah. I'm so privileged that you picked me. Thank you. And then when you're together, oh, you're just so awesome. Look at you, you're so handsome. I love you to bits. That speaker doesn't work that way.
I just wanted the look on her face, actually.
And then it took me to the next level of worship. It was, oh, yes, I just love to be around you. You're so awesome. Man, if I could just marry you, I'd just worship you for the rest of my life. And then the Lord was going, that's what I want. So, you know, just enjoy being in my presence and just seek me. And like when your wife used to upset you, what did you do when you were first courting? Did you go, you stupid idiot, get out? No, you said, I can forgive that because I was trying to win her favour. So, yeah, we'll deal with that when I got to know her a bit better. I'm telling the truth. But she'd do a lot of things that I didn't like, but it didn't bother me because all I was interested was getting her eyes upon me. And that's what the Lord wants. He just wants us to get our eyes upon him. And he just wants to love us to bits, like we really, really want to be. It's just we get so distracted by other rubbish that the enemy throws at us that we miss what we really want, which is a relationship with our Father. Mm. Which it's pretty cool. Like last night I was telling Jeremy this morning about the conversation I was having with the Lord through doing the writing thing, and it's nah, stuff does, Lord, I've been talking to you for how many years now, I don't need to write it down, I'll just talk to you. I said, but I want to know, I've sort of figured out who's the Holy Spirit talking and who's God the Father. Well, which one of you is Jesus? And I'm talking to you right now. But you sound exactly like God the Father, because I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But how do I know which one of us is which? And then He gave me a cheeky answer. And now, I know that's the Holy Spirit because you're like me. And he could be. Well, I can do that too. Now you're making me confused. You're not funny. Yes, I am. I'm hilarious. And I said, well, it can't be the Holy Spirit because you're not allowed to interrupt. And he said, I can do whatever I want because I am the king. Leave Lion King out of it, okay? That's my funny analogy. And then in the end, after a couple of hours, he just said, look, is it really that important which one of us you're talking to? Because we're all God. How about you just be happy that you can talk to all of us at the same time and we can all answer you at the same time? And, yeah, but you missed my point, Lord. And he goes, okay. I thought, here he comes. The bottom line of this is, you're a baboon and I am not. Is that you or the enemy, Lord? Because, you know, somebody else taught that we came from apes and it made a lot of people stumble. And you're right, I shouldn't have said that. You look like a baboon. Oh, you can take your sick humour and get out of my face. I'm going to bed. Yeah, I went to bed. It was good that me and the Lord have that sort of relationship. But like I was saying to Scott, it's only a good sense of humour when I'm the one making the jokes, not when the joke's on me. So, yeah, did that answer it?
Baboon jokes? Or?
Yeah. God said, I don't look like a baboon.
You're lying, because you look like me. We all look like one.
I was just thinking about a podcast I listened to the other day, and they were talking about how worship is actually a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's not just getting up on a Sunday or flicking on a CD and then you have your time of worship. It's you worship in all that you do. You know, we should be expressing the love of Christ and the heart of the Father in all that we do. And I was listening, this is kind of where we got the idea for interviewing one of the worship leaders at Bethel was talking about how she just had a difficult morning with her kids and basically like we do, and pulling your hair out, and she gets into the car and is heading off to lead worship at a conference, and she sort of just muttered to herself, oh, mummy hat off, worship hat on. And Bill Johnson turns around, who's the pastor there, and is her father-in-law, and he said, perhaps you should never have taken the worship hat off. And she was like, whew, you know. Even in those times we should still be worshipping. It's not something you put on and take off. It's something that we should do every day, all day.
Right on. Yeah. Awesome. Look, just an opportunity now for us just to take some time and just have just a little bit of worship to let this settle in our hearts. Like I said, we just sort of put together a very broad, I guess I'd say, introduction to some of the words that are there in the Old and New Testament that just talk to us about worship. And the thing that you're going to find is it gives you a massive amount of freedom. There's a lot of things we do traditionally. Do you understand what I mean when I say traditionally? In other words, by the rules that men have made over the last 2,000 years that tell us what we can and can't do in church. Now, here's the thing. Most people either lean toward the intellectual or they lean toward the emotional. And that doesn't matter if you're male or female. Usually you have a tendency, a leaning of which way you're going. But the reality is there's room for both. I have seen the most intellectual people, you know, jump up and down with joy in certain seasons of their life. You know, shed a tear before someone when emotion strikes them. And I've seen the most emotional people, you know, really stick themselves into trying to comprehend something in their mind. The point is, in the body of Christ, guys, there's room for both. We want to be people who are serious about understanding who God is through His Word. But on the other hand, we also want to be people who experience the character of God through His presence in our lives. And there's room for that. I think that one of the points that we wanted to come through this morning was we're on a journey. I think I speak for Leonie and Rob and myself and Jeremy. We don't know the destination here. We're not positive. The destination is Jesus, okay? And by that, that destination's like massive. And we're just kind of going, okay, Lord, we're not sure what this is going to look like when we get there. Because in our experience, we've never seen it. But the thing is we're not ready to stop pursuing and just set up camp and say, this is as far as we go. You guys tracking with me? So there's freedom. Here's the thing. Are we going to get everything right? Of course, it's us. You know? No, okay. Really, at the end of the day, are we going to get everything right? No, probably not. But the thing is that's how you learn, isn't it? And that's how you grow. And so we're just inviting you, saying, look, come along with us. We wanna see Jesus. Amen? Let's worship.